Good morning. This is the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder, sitting in for Sarah Severson this morning. With new laws legalizing marijuana in Colorado, the conversation has mainly been about recreational marijuana and the social and legal issues as it has raised. But agricultural producers are now beginning to look at growing hemp, cannabis with very low THC content that has traditionally been used to produce products such as hemp seed foods, hemp oil, rope, cloth, paper, and fuel. Hemp registration opened for farmers on Saturday in Colorado, the first state to start regulating industrial hemp since the federal government allowed limited hemp regulation. With me this morning to talk about hemp is Lou Nettleton. He's a representative with the Colorado Plateau Growers Association. Good morning, Lou. Good
morning, Tom.
Well, there seems to be a lot of interest in hemp, especially here in southwest Colorado. Why are farmers considering hemp?
It historically has been one of the major legs of agriculture in the U.S. Since the early 1600s, every state grew it. It was taken away in 1935, and there's a big hole in our agricultural system. It's an opportunity now for farmers to have a crop that can be used to help restore land, control erosion, use in a crop rotation to produce sustainable agriculture, and it has a multitude of products that can be made from it.
Let's talk a little bit about products. Is there a fairly sizable market for industrial hemp that's out there? People are needing hemp for products?
Yes and no. There's a huge international market. The U.S. last year did about $550 million in imports of hemp products. That's mostly cloth and cloth-related materials. There really is no U.S. industrial market for it. It's a developing market. Right now, as an example, all the burlap bags you see in this country all come from either Indonesia or Bangladesh. Nowhere in the U.S. do they either produce it or have it for farmers to use. So what we have is a situation where the product lines are readily available. The technologies are there for them. We don't have an internal market. A perfect example is our bioplant in Dove Creek. We really don't have the capacity here to compete in a national market with biofuels. But we do have a unique market in the sense that all of the BLM and Forest Service kinds of people and the National Parks folks are required now to use biofuel in their diesels. So we have a local market. We could compete from Arches to Mesa Verde, Durango, and that would be a sustainable market for our farmers. Some of the other markets like fiber, hemp is a difficult product to transport. It's too bulky. Hmm. So if you have a facility that strips the plant, turns the fiber into a more movable resource, you can ship it. But it's one of those products that's best done locally, where the farmers do all the work, add the value, and then control the final retail distribution. That's the market that we're going to have to develop, and each state and each region is going to do it on its own because there's just nothing there now as a footprint to work off of.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. I'm sitting in for Sarah Severson this morning. My guest is Lou Nettleton. He's a representative with the Colorado Plateau Growers Association, and we're talking about the potential for industrial hemp here in southwest Colorado. Talk about some of the issues that have been raised recently around seeds. Hemp requires, there's a lot of different kinds of varieties of hemp seed that's out there. Talk about some of the issues that are going on right now in that conversation.
Basically, what it comes down to is the way the legislation is written. We as farmers are going to be required to buy seeds from a recognized seed source. Right now, there are only a couple in the world, and they're producing seed that's primarily designed to go to the European common market countries and Canada. Those seeds have really very little application on the Colorado Plateau. The notion that the seeds that we're being required to use are conventional hemp is misleading. Nowhere in nature does a hemp plant grow that's less than 1/3 of 1% THC. These are all either genetically modified plants or they are what are known as patented plants. They are actually owned by a company. If we're required to use those seeds only, we are forbidden to save seed. We're forbidden to do any seed trials and research to develop those seeds further because they won't belong to us. And there really is no clear source of information right now as to the seeds that are being brought here. it's my information that we have about 16 farms that were granted special permits last year in Colorado to grow seed. I've never spoken with any of those folks. I don't know if any of their seed is available. The law concerning the seeds used in Canada and Europe are that the farmers can't sell them. So somebody that comes here now and says they have approved a certified seed is misleading at best. And if you have to use those seeds as a farmer, you're going to be required to sign a contract. My organization is advising farmers right now to be very, very careful about anything they sign. If you bring GMO seeds and patented seeds here, you're going to have a negative impact on your farmers. You're going to lessen our ability to control the market. And it's going to make it extremely difficult to go backwards, because once that seed is introduced, the genetics are put into our ecosystem. And as it is everywhere in the U.S. where hemp has been grown, it goes wild really rapidly. And this particular group of seeds is highly potent. It will cross-pollinate anything else growing. Generally, within 10 miles is what's considered the major distance you can go. In Canada, they zone so that if you're growing one type of hemp, you have to be at least 2 miles from somebody else. And that takes an awful lot of land out of production. Not a good idea.
Is this big concern over seeds, Lou, mostly about the THC content and the regulations that are in place to say you, if you're growing a plant with more than this much THC, then suddenly you're growing marijuana, which is
absolutely,
you know, a drug?
And that's one of the biggest misconceptions. In 100% of the court cases involving the Justice Department and the Supreme Court of the United States, they have said cannabis is illegal. It's not a matter of THC. It doesn't matter if it's 15%, 1%, or 1/3%. If it's a cannabis plant, it's illegal. The issue of the low THC has been a political expression trying to reduce legal exposure. But the way the law is written in Colorado right now, if you have an acre of hemp, which would be around 42,000 plants, and one plant tests over 1% THC, your entire crop will be considered illegal, and you'll have to destroy it at your own expense. It's going to be real difficult for farmers to grow any kind of hemp on a large scale that you're not going to get some cross-contamination from medical or other varieties that are around. And there really is no logical reason why that should be. Most hemp that's wild in the United States naturally has about 3% THC. And historically, the definition of hemp has been a plant with less than 3%, because that's the threshold from getting any pharmacological effect from the plant.
So what kind, as you understand it now, what kind of inspection or regulation is a hemp farmer going to have to submit themselves to should they decide to undertake that kind of crop?
It's quite extensive. You have to pay for your permits and pay on an acreage basis. Those numbers aren't onerous. But when you sign up, you give away the right of privacy. You acknowledge that the government and any of its agencies associated with agriculture have the right to come on your property and inspect all of your property, all of your buildings, all of your vehicles, and your farm records. And they don't need any kind of a written warrant or a prior consideration. They can just come and do. You're liable for all of their expenses. And the part of it that bothers me is it says right in the permit process that the police will be notified. If you have one plant over 1%, they will be notified first. The effect of the new industrial law is to recriminalize cannabis for only farmers. Nobody else faces the criminal sanctions that farmers will face. It's really an odd perspective that the way it's structured now, if you are involved recreationally for your own use, you can pretty much grow all you want. You can give it away. You don't have to register with anybody. You have to keep no records. If you're a dispensary, you have a privately controlled monopoly. And that seems to be the issue. The way the laws are written, there is no recognized industry for the production of outdoor medicinal or pharmaceutical cannabis. It just doesn't exist.
You're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder, sitting in for Sarah Severson this morning. My guest is Lou Nettleton. He's a representative with the Colorado Plateau Growers Association. This morning, we're talking about hemp and hemp growing. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back. This is the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. You're listening to The Zine. I'm Tom Yoder, sitting in for Sarah Severson this morning. This morning, I'm talking with Lou Nettleton. He's a representative with the Colorado Plateau Growers Association, and we're talking about the potential benefits to our area and to industry of growing hemp. Lou, there's so many different uses for hemp and hemp seed, the oils. One of which that's here domestically, here in the United States, is the pharmaceutical industry. Can you talk a little bit about how that's being used and what are some of the issues around producing hemp and hemp oils for the pharmaceutical industry?
Well, the way the regulations are structured now, industrial hemp basically means a low THC product. There's another market that's been totally ignored, and that is the pharmaceutical market. When we talk about pharmaceuticals, we're talking about purified extracts from the plant that are used as base stocks for making medicine. In Europe, the medical trials are way more advanced than ours, and all of the experience so far is that the naturally grown derivatives of the cannabis plant are more effective and have a longer range of usage than the synthetically produced versions. So when we talk about pharmaceutical market here, we're talking about growing plants on a very, very strict organic style basis because they have to meet food grade standards. The cosmetic industry is another industry that is huge. It's waiting in the wings to step in. A good example of the contradiction in the law is that if you remove THC from the plant to produce what the definition of industrial hemp is, you're removing one of the components that the cosmetic industry is most interested in, because THC is a super ultraviolet radiation blocker. It has a tremendous usage in lipsticks, oils, balms, anything that has to have ultraviolet blocking in it. So when we pass a law saying you can't use that part of the plant, you're creating a hole in the market. Right now, autism is a big area that the research is being done in, and it needs the purest food grade THC that can be utilized. And the only way we get that is if we grow it under very strict standards. The way the law is written, we cannot grow these products now and consider them an industrial or pharmaceutical crop, because the law exclusively prohibits anything over 1/3 of 1% THC. So in effect, we have eliminated the very largest of the medical market. This has been estimated to be potentially bigger than aspirin, a multi-billion dollar market. And key to the issue is that where we are on the Colorado Plateau, we do not have residual effects of industrial cannabis having been grown here prior to 1937 or so. So we have a climate that will allow us to grow a very pure product that can't be grown in the vast majority of the other states. It's a unique environment that gives us an opportunity to grow a world-class product. Farmers would benefit primarily from this.
How much interest is there in Southwest Colorado for growing hemp?
Quite a bit. The laws in California are pretty antiquated and inconsistent, so there are a lot of people there who have professional skills that would like to transfer them to Colorado, where there's more legal protection and a better legal structure. An awful lot of the states that had counties that used to grow industrial hemp, most people don't understand, in 1935, we were the world's leading producer of the very best of every market in hemp. So there is a large agricultural memory of that. And that industry could be brought back utilizing a lot of the base stock that has gone wild. It's feral, but it's still there. And 80, 90 years ago, it was the best hemp in the world. So there's a tremendous amount of interest looking at the industrial from the perspective of rope, fiber, and oil. The pharmaceutical market is particularly interesting here because of the unique environment. recently, Ecuador relaxed all of its rules and regulations concerning drugs. Within, 72 hours, the report was that I read, something like $12 million from pharmaceutical industries moved from Europe to Ecuador to start the process of legalizing and bringing online medically derived products. 60% of all our medicine comes from organic sources. This is just a natural progression of that. The literature really suggests that cannabis is going to be more important than aspirin was. It's a huge, huge international market. A lot of that is looking at Colorado just because we have a unique environment. A lot of the west slope of the Rockies has the same environment but doesn't have the particular combination of soil, water, elevation that we have. So we are positioned in a place, in a way, that with a minor change in the laws, we could become a major producer of a world-class crop.
If people want to find out more, is there some place they can go right now? Is there a group, the Colorado Plateau Growers Association, for instance, where people can find out more information about hemp and what they might be doing around that?
You can call. I have a dedicated line on my farm just for it. Okay to give the number?
Absolutely.
970-560-5118. And there is a group here in Cortez, Hemp Talks. It is an organization that acts as an umbrella, and it meets the first Sunday of each month at 10 o'clock at the Visitor Center here in Cortez. If you want to know in general what's going on, that's a great group. Also, the area Granges are interested. Next Sunday, I will be in Mancos. Their Grange wants to talk about it. Talk to your Grange people.
All right.
Any of those groups are poised to step into the void and be a really effective means of regulating and controlling local cannabis growing.
A real grassroots effort.
Mm-hmm.
Lou, thanks so much for coming in and talking with me this morning. It was really a pleasure.
Mine as well. Thanks a lot.
That's Lou Nettleton. He's a representative with the Colorado Plateau Growers Association. I'm Tom Yoder, sitting in for Sarah Severson here on the Big Fat Farm Show this morning. You have been listening to the Tuesday Morning Zine. Today's program was produced by myself, Tom Yoder. If you missed any part of today's program or would like to leave a comment, go to ksjd.org for an archive of zine programs that you can listen to at your convenience.